good to see some of you braved the snow and came out today. We thank the Lord that kept you safe. And we thank all those who are online this morning, watching from home, probably still in your pajamas, getting ready to maybe go out in the snow and have some fun today. Lord, we thank the Lord for just blessing us with this technology so that we can get the word into your home and you are able to listen and apply what the Lord wants you to hear this week. And so we just thank the Lord for this time to be together. We are going to be in Romans. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 31 through 39. This has been an amazing week of prayer and fasting. I just can't say enough the things that the Lord has already done from this week of prayer and fasting. It was a special time for us to draw near to God, to be changed, to be empowered by Him, to realign our lives up with His Word and His will, to taste and see that the Lord is good. God has done some amazing things this week in our lives, and the effects of this week will be felt throughout this year, and maybe even throughout a lifetime for some of us. We have offered up our prayers in the name of Christ. We have prayed in faith, trusting God to do what only He can do. We have prayed according to His will and His Word that we find in His Word. Through Christ's power and work which gave us access to the throne of God, we were able this week to come confidently and boldly before His throne to receive mercy and grace in our time of need. We have been released from the bondage of sin. We are forgiven, empowered by God. We have gained the greatest of victories. We are more than conquerors. Through our faith in Christ, we have continual victory. We have victory over all this world throws at us, including death, as we read this morning. We should be encouraged. We should be confident about our future. We should be excited about what the Lord is going to do. We should feel very secure in God's love, filled with hope, and certain hope, because God is for you. No one can be against you. Let's look there at Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 34. Because God is for you, no one can be against you. No one. Let's look at those verses. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. What then shall we say to these things? What things is he talking about? If we move back a little bit into verse 28, a very familiar verse in this chapter, he says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." He then goes on to say that He has called us, He's justified us, He will conform us into the image of Christ, and ultimately He's going to glorify us. He's going to give us a new body. You mean God did all that for us, and we did nothing to earn it? We did nothing to deserve it? You mean it was His love that drove Him to extend that kind of mercy and that kind of grace on us, withholding what we deserve as far as punishment and lavishing on us what we do not deserve, which is life? Yes. Yes, that God did that. Yes and amen. Our response to this should be that of total amazement. It should provoke a sense of awe and praise before God. It should change us. It should give us a new perspective that gives God thanksgiving in all things at all times. God is for you. The one true God, the Almighty, the all-knowing, eternal God who spoke everything into creation is for you. Just think about that for a second. Can you wrap your mind around that? In fact, the child of God should start each day with an understanding, and I believe a declaration, that God is for you. He's for you. He has lavished His love on you and truly wants and knows what is best for your life. Therefore, because Almighty God is for you, who can be against you? Think about that. Because God is for you, who can be against you? Paul is asking questions and giving answers about the victory that we have through our faith in Christ. Truth that will eradicate all the fear we may have of the past, the present, and the future. God wants us to know and remember this truth. He is for you. Paul is asking the question, who's going to bring a charge against God's children? Who is there to condemn you? Remember, God is for you. So much, though, he says here that God did not even spare his own son for you. Think about that. God, in his love for us, sent his own son to be that perfect blood sacrifice for all the sins of the world. He allowed Jesus to die for us. He then poured out the punishment that we deserve on Christ, who had no sin. He was perfectly righteous. The penalty for our punishment of death had to be paid. And Christ is the only one who could pay that. He's the one mediator between God and mankind. It had to be. He had to come. He had to die for us. Jesus left the glories of heaven to come down and become flesh like one of us. We know, we just celebrated recently that his birth as a baby by a virgin through the power of the Holy Spirit. He lived a perfect life, meaning he had no sin whatsoever. He overcame all temptation and had no sin. And when he walked the earth, he taught God's truth. He had power over nature. He held back the waves of the sea. He had power over demons. The Satan fled before him. He had power to heal the sick, and he laid hands on the lepers and healed them. He forgave man's sin. He even raised the dead. He loved people like no one had ever loved people before. With this perfect agape love that God has for us that we just talked about. He loved people, but he was betrayed by his own people. He was handed over to the Romans, and Jesus, he allowed them to crucify him on that cross because he knew it was the only way. He knew it was the only way. He knew that on that cross, he became the perfect sacrificial lamb of God, the final and perfect sacrifice. He took our place on that cross. He took our punishment of death on himself, and he died in our place. He paid in full the price for us to be forgiven of our sin and have eternal life. But like no other, 3 days later, he rose to life. He rose from the grave. He defeated sin. He defeated that punishment of death, and he lives. And he lives to offer all people forgiveness of sin and eternal life. If you believe in him, if you believe in who he is and what he did, that he came and he died for you, that he rose from the grave, and you understand that your sin is bringing death upon you. And so you want to turn, you want to repent of that sin and turn from your old life, and you turn to Christ and you ask his forgiveness. You know he paid the penalty for you. You know that in Christ alone is their salvation. And so you just surrender your life to him and you say, you're Lord of my life. I'm now going to live your way according to your terms, not my way any longer. If you do that, he will forgive all your sin and give you eternal life. He will adopt you through your faith in Christ and his work. He will adopt you as his own child. He will empower you with his Spirit and give you victory over your flesh, victory over sin, and even victory over death. He is for you. There is no one else for you like God is for you. Through your faith in Christ, you are God's child, and no one, absolutely no one, can bring an accusation against you. Yet sometimes we walk around in shame, as if we are condemned by God. Last week, it was a time for true and honest repentance before God, this time to realign ourselves with God and his Word, a time to be reminded of some very important promises. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think about that. If you truly confess your sins before the Lord, if you truly repent and turn away from them, he's going to forgive you, and he's going to take those sins away. He's going to cleanse you from all the unrighteousness that we have in our life. In fact, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. In Christ, all is forgiven. Through the blood sacrifice of Christ, you are justified before God. He declares you righteous. Since God gave up his only Son for you, he says here in verse 32, will he not graciously give you all things? Of course he will. You are his child. Now, some people have the wrong idea about surrendering their lives to Christ, as if it brings some kind of bondage or some kind of restriction. But this is a different type of surrender. As we surrender to Christ, it's the only surrender where you can actually surrender. You've lost the war. You surrender to Christ and he gives you victory. He gives you true freedom. Freedom from slavery, the slavery of sin that lies over every human being on this planet. People walk around and don't realize that you are in bondage to your sin. People don't realize that they can't overcome their desires, that they can't stop doing what is harmful for them. They have no power over their flesh. They just do whatever they desire to do. God wants to graciously give you all things. In Christ, He will pour out a multitude of spiritual blessings on your life. He will empower you to overcome your flesh. He will empower you to overcome this world. He will empower you to overcome the lies that you think about yourself. He will open doors for you to walk in His purposes and His will for your life. As Christ said, He has come to give you abundant life. And in this abundant life, there is inexpressible joy. Doesn't matter about the pandemic. You are able to face these trials of life with joy. Inexpressible joy that comes from Him. In this abundant life, there is unending peace. You have the peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make any sense that you have peace in the midst of your trial. You have certain hope, not wishful thinking, certain hope about the future. And in Christ, in this abundant life, you have true purpose. True purpose. You are able to fulfill what God created you to be. Who He created you to be. All the works He created for you, you're able to fulfill those things. Verse 33 states, who can bring a charge against you since it was God who justified you? No one. Verse 34, who is there to condemn you? Who's going to condemn you? Jesus, who died and rose from the grave, He says. Who? Not only that, He's at the right hand of God. Not only that, He says He's interceding for you and I. Think about that for a second. Jesus, who said, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you in heaven, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you to where I am. He said to us, hey, I'm with you till the end of the age. Jesus said to us, He's going to empower us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is at the right hand of God and He is interceding for you and all that's going on in your life. The God who created all things is interceding for you. He's praying for you. Who can bring condemnation against God's children? No one. That includes our selfish, inward-focused minds. Jesus, who has all power and authority in heaven and earth, who has paid the full price for your life, who exchanged your sin for perfect righteousness, is praying for you. He's empowering you. He is protecting you. And He will bring to completion the good work that He started in your life, Philippians 1:6. He's going to bring to completion what He has started in your life, that wonderful work of salvation. Because God is for you, no one can be against you. As you awake each morning, declare this promise from God. Don't forget it. God is for you. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe the ideas and the lies that you come up with in your mind. Don't believe the false wisdom that we hear from the world. Take captive those thoughts. He's given you divine power to do that and line them up with the truth of God's Word. You have divine power to do that. Believe what God says about you. He is for you. He is for you. And through your faith in Christ, there is now no condemnation on you. This is part of your new identity in Christ. This is part of your new identity. There's no need to fear because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Not only can no one be against us, because God's purposes in Christ for His children can't be thwarted. No one can be against us, but because God's purposes in Christ for us cannot be thwarted, we are more than conquerors. Look there at verse 35 through 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are all being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. God's Word here not only helps us understand that God will never fail us. What happens when we fail God? What happens when we are driven to despair through trials and struggles and life becomes overwhelming? I mean, tribulation happens in your life. There's distress. There's persecution against you. There's famine. There's nakedness and danger and sword, that we're like sheep to be slaughtered. Can these horrible circumstances in your life separate you from God? And this is the question that's being asked here. We know from God's Word that He does not protect us from difficulties, the difficulties of life. We know. We live in a world that has been corrupted and destroyed by sin, and we feel the effects of it every day. The effects of our own sin, the effects of other people's sin, the destructive power that sin has had on this world, the pain, the suffering, the death. I mean, we live in a world like that, and God does not protect us from the difficulties in life. In fact, He tells us to count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds. We see that in the first chapter of James. Jesus tells us that, actually in Matthew 5, He tells us we're blessed and we are persecuted for His name's sake because our reward in heaven is far greater. Far greater. Paul says the sufferings of this life can't even be compared to our future glory in heaven. In fact, we know that God uses the trials and the adversity in our lives that we face to bring about spiritual growth and maturity. God, in all of His power and all of His sovereignty, works to fulfill His purposes, not only in the world, His purposes in each one of your lives. As we read here in verse 28, as we just read, He's working all these things out for your good. And we sometimes think that's going to be the absence of those things, but it's not. God is working all these things out, all these trials, all the difficulties that you face for your good. God being sovereign and eternal, He knows the future. He's working out His purpose in your life for your good. The struggles we face are actually working for our good. They're not working against us. Can these things separate us from God? The answer here is no. Because we are more than conquerors. Because God is for us. Because God saved us. Adopted us as His child. Because God is empowering us. Because He is working all these things out for our good. We are more than conquerors. Think about that. The phrase here actually means to keep on winning a glorious victory. That's what it means, to keep on winning a glorious victory. We're always winners. If you're in Christ, you're always a winner. By the love and power of Christ, He enables you to triumph over all that life throws at you, all that comes against us. We are God's children. We are empowered by Him, and therefore we are more than conquerors. We keep on winning a glorious victory. Every day we have God's presence. Every day we have God's power. We have His promises that enable us to have victory over everything else that we face in life. There's no need to fear what life brings, things present or things to come. There's no need to be filled with anxiety over the unknown, because God, the Almighty God of the universe that created all things, He's for you. And He has your best in mind, and He has empowered you to be a more than a conqueror. He has enabled you to keep winning the victory over your flesh. He's enabled you to keep winning victory over your worries. He's enabled you to keep winning victory over the difficulties you have in your relationship, to keep winning the victory over opposition you face in the world, over unforeseen circumstances. He's enabling you to keep winning the victory over your own condemnation of yourself, over your own pain, over all the hurt you may feel, over unmet expectations, over sickness, and even over death. He gives you the victory. If you put your faith and trust in Christ, you are a child of God. You have victory. And you can claim this for yourself because you're in Christ. You are His child. You're God's child. You are more than a conqueror. Do you believe what God is saying about you? Do you believe this? You may say, well, I know we have the victory in Christ, but can anything else separate me from God? I mean, can death, can Satan separate me from His love? The answer is no. Because God has adopted you, nothing can take you away from Him. Look here at verse 38 and 39 as we finish up. Because God has adopted you, nothing can take you away from Him. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things to present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so he ends this passage with certainty of a believer's salvation. Wow. The question asked is, can anything in the entire created realm separate me from God's love? I want to know, can life, anything in life, angels, you know, the realm I can't see, I mean, rulers and powers, anything from above and below, I mean, anything in all creation, can anything separate me from God? The answer is no. Impossible. The words, I am sure, means I stand convinced. Paul is standing there, I stand convinced by God that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. We're talking about God's love for you, not your love for God. God's love for you. Nothing can separate you from His love. We're talking about His love and purpose for those who are in Christ, those who have been saved. As we said before, who can come against God? Who can thwart the plans and purposes for those who are in Christ, God's children? Think about that for a second. Since God is for you, there's no one, there's nothing that can come against you. There is nothing that can separate you from love. Who or what can take away the power of Christ's blood? Who or what can take away the power of Christ's blood? Who can unsave what God has saved? Who can unjustify what God has justified? Who can re-exchange the righteousness given to me because I put my faith in Christ? Who can re-exchange that righteousness given to me by Christ? No one or nothing can separate you from God. In Christ, you have been given the ultimate victory. It is finished. He has already won. He did that when He died and rose from the grave. He secured life for us in Christ through our faith in Him. Listen to the words of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. I want you to listen to these words. He says, "In Him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you believed in Him and were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession up to the praise of His glory." Notice here what God did when you heard the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, when you believed in Him, you repented of your sin, and you turned to Him, you surrendered your life to Him. Look what God did. God the Holy Spirit came and made His home with you. See, that's what happens when you put your faith in Christ. Victory comes. Freedom comes. God the Holy Spirit came, He made His home with you. God Himself came to indwell you. In fact, He says here that this is God's seal on you. His seal. A seal that clarifies that you are His. You're His. Who or what could possibly overpower God and make Him leave you? Who? What? No one. He goes on to say that the Holy Spirit is our guarantee that you will be in heaven. A guarantee made by God. So who or what could make God break His promise? God is sovereign. He is always true. He is always faithful. He has never been unfaithful in a promise that He has made. Never. How does that make you feel? Are you overwhelmed with thanksgiving for God who has done everything for your salvation to be secure? Now, does that mean I can do whatever I want? I mean, that's great. I can do whatever I want and get away with it, right? No. God has given us specific terms and laws for how we live as a child of God. There will certainly, absolutely certainly be fruit that comes from the Spirit living in you. I mean, God, the Holy Spirit, is living in you. So there's going to be some kind of fruit coming out in your life. He is going to change you from the inside out. You will be known by your fruit. But what this does mean, and I'll read Jesus' words for you. I'm going to read Jesus' words for you in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Here's what it means. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' If you have truly and honestly repented of your sin and you believed in Christ, you surrendered your life to Him, then you have been born of God, born of the Spirit. You have been adopted by Him, and nothing in all creation can separate you from Him. But there will be those who have never truly surrendered their lives to Christ. They're living their Christian life on their own terms, doing life the way they want to do it. They will put on a good show, but never have a genuine faith in Christ." Jesus goes on to say in John 10, 28, He says, "I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one can snatch them out of my hand." If you've been saved by God, you will never perish. No one can take you out of God's hand. You are sealed by God. He has given you a guarantee of your future reward in heaven. In fact, your salvation is being guarded by God Himself. This is truly amazing. Listen again to the words here of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance, here's your inheritance in heaven, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfaded, kept in heaven for you. Listen to this, verse 5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. God in all of His power is guarding your salvation, that He will bring your salvation to completion. He started out with justifying you through faith in Christ. There was justification, there's sanctification throughout your life, and one day there's going to be glorification in heaven. He will one day give you a new glorified body, an eternal body, and you will spend eternity in His presence. In Christ, God is for you. Therefore, no one can be against you. In Christ, God's purposes for your life will be fulfilled. He has made us to be more than conquerors. We will overcome this life. We will overcome death. Because God adopted you as His own child, nothing can take you away from Him. In Christ, you have total and continual victory. You will keep on winning the victory. That's what we have in Christ. We have so much to be excited about. We have so much to be encouraged by. In Christ, God will graciously give you all things. He just stands there ready to lavish on you all these spiritual blessings in Christ. Think about it. He desires to fulfill these purposes and plans in your life, to help you walk in all these works that He prepared for you. He desires to give you that abundant life, a life of victory over all that weighs you down, over all you face in this life. There is no better life to live than that of which God has for you. There's no better life to live than that of which God has for you. His way is best, and His power is sufficient. And His love for you endures forever, forever, forever. He is for you. As we get ready to worship, rejoice in security of your salvation. As we spend time singing this last song, praise the Lord for His love and His care for each one of you. Worship God, the God who will lavish all these spiritual blessings on you. He is for you and no one can be against you. Claim the victory and remember we are more than conquerors. In other words, you can do all things. You can do all that God desires of you through Christ who strengthens you. You can do all that God desires of you through Christ alone. He alone can help you live this abundant life. He alone can help you live a life of victory. But if you've never put your faith in Christ, if you've never come to that place where you believe who God is and what He did for you on the cross, and you truly believe He rose from the grave and He lives to offer you forgiveness of all your sin and eternal life, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you think it is, His blood covers all sin. If you come to that place and you're at that place where you know that your way has not worked and you've tried and you've done all these things and you've sought out relationships and you've sought money and you've sought possessions and you've sought other things for fulfillment and none of it's worked and you're at that place and you're ready. You're ready now to turn away from that, repent of it, turn away from that and turn to Christ and surrender your life to Him. He stands ready to take all your sin and cleanse you. He wants to take all your sin and put His righteousness on you. He wants to adopt you as His child and give you abundant life. That's what He wants for you. So if you're here, if you're watching from home and you've come to that place, all you need to do is come to Him in faith, believing that, praying before Him, saying, Lord, I believe who You are. I believe You did come and You died on the cross for me. I believe You rose from the grave. And I believe You're offering me forgiveness of all my sin and eternal life. And I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I have sin and I need Your forgiveness. And so I'm going to repent, Lord, and I'm turning to You and I'm asking You to forgive my sin. Please, Lord, forgive all my sin. Lord, I'm surrendering my life to You. I'm no longer going to live my way. I'm going to live Your way. And I put all my faith and trust in You. I want You to be Lord of my life. You're in control. I'm no longer in control. You're in control. If you pray that to Christ, He's going to forgive all your sin and give you eternal life. If you put your faith and trust in Him, He's going to pour out this abundant life. You're going to be adopted as a child of God, and you're going to be more than a conqueror. You're going to have continual victory over all that life throws at you. After this week of prayer and fasting, we have victory. God is going to give us victory, and we're going to continue to win the victory throughout this year and beyond. Let's go to Him in worship as we take time to really pray, seek the Lord's face, and give Him all the glory and honor and praise that He deserves for all that He has done for us to keep winning the victory.